Well, good morning, everybody. Happy birthday, Sue. Happy belated birthday. Love you, sis. Well, praise the Lord. And, you know, it was an interesting thing. I was sitting last night. I was by myself sitting on the couch. And I was thinking, which isn't too safe for me. But I was thinking on some good things, and here I'm thinking about the love of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about the situation that the Lord has put me in as such a loving situation. And He's really, quite frankly, put us all in. And we all have an issue of really fully wrapping our hands around the gospel of Jesus Christ and what that is. I mean, I can look back where the Lord had ministers to love me over and over and over again. Davey, Ann, Cheryl, Steve, Rick, Paul, my wife. And there's times when it was just hard for me. Hard for me to really grab a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was hard for my intellect to understand that they were loving me in spite of me. And to actually receive that love. And there were many times when there was frustration. Well, I was frustrated with the ministers that it came down to with me and gave me a word of correction or a word of love to get me past through something. And here I am. It's just like when you call your kid to you and you're just trying to love them, but they freak out and throw attitude. And you're like, just come here. I just want to love you. But I was looking at all those times where I really just rejected and rejected and rejected that love because I didn't feel like I deserved it. But that's the point of the gospel. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You know, I remember when the Lord put my family together. You know, I thought this was going to turn out to be a nightmare. I didn't think this was going to happen. I mean, how can it be? I mean, I went off and I rebelled against the Lord, against His way, did everything backwards according to His way. And yet when I cried out to Him, He heard me and He answered my prayer. And He loved me and He redeemed that situation. That's the love of Christ. And I look at the situation I am in now and today. I remember distinctly a conversation with Paul, and he's telling me, "Can't you see that I love you? If you don't know it, you need to know it, son. I love you. I don't love you just because of what you do or what you did or any of those things. I just love you because you're mine and you're dear to me." That's the gospel. But we reject that because we think we got to earn it. We think we got to deserve it. Amen. Paul's saying, here's being worthy of it. I'm not even close. I'm on a different planet, he says. And that's absolutely it. And I was just looking at that. And I just looking at how many times where I get bound up in my own mind, in my own carnal mind. And I'm just letting the enemy just kick that thing around in my head. Oh, you're a scumbag. You're not worthy. You're not deserving. Well, duh. That's okay. That's okay. I can still receive the love of Christ. I can still receive the blood of the Lamb. I still can be forgiven. In fact, I can't earn it. It's a gift. It's freely given to me. But in our own mind, how many times we venture off on trying to deserve it? Looking at what we have done. Or looking at what we have accomplished. Or just trying to do that. Just trying to make ourselves worthy. How many times do we get caught up in that snare? When it's just, look, sit down, relax, and receive the love of Christ which He has given to you. How many times I put things on Paul? How many times I put things on Rick? But they're just trying to poke at me. They're just trying to frustrate me. They're coming from this area. No, they're just trying to love me and receive it, dummy. How many times? Too many. But when I was sitting there last night, I was about coming to tears about the situation that the Lord has put me in with ministers all around me to love me and people to love me. I was thinking, praise the Lord. And see, that's what it's about. What is the Father's will? Love God, love one another. It was funny, I was talking to Angie the other night, and that love can look many different ways. I mean, let's look at Jesus for the perfect example. You had Jesus, and that love looked many different ways. One was flipping over the tables in the temple. Saying, you made my house a den of thieves. Grabbed a cat of nine tails, turned those things over. Because it was the truth and they needed to hear it. They needed to be brought account. Without that, they would have gone in the error of their way still. But at least at this point, they had an option to turn. How about that rich young ruler that comes up to the Lord and says, I have kept, what should I do to be saved? Well, do these commandments. I've kept those from my youth. But one thing thou lackest, go sell everything you have, give unto the poor, and come and follow me. That was the one thing in his way from going forward in the Lord. And that was love. What was another way of His love? Of when we were sitting there accusing Him. Saying, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. And Him not saying a peep to justify Himself. But took it anyways. All those things are agape love. What about when that woman was caught in adultery? And they said, Master, what should we do? The law of Moses says we ought to stone her. He said one phrase. I forget what it is. Can somebody pull it up? Let him without sin cast the first stone. Started from the oldest to the youngest. Because the oldest sure knows he's got a lot of sin that he's committed. That's love. I want to go to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth? For before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? How did you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ? You heard it by faith. You heard it. You received it. And it wasn't by your own good works. It wasn't by anything that you did. It was all about what Jesus did. And you heard the gospel and you received that love of Christ. And man, when I remember I first received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm telling you, when that sin was washed away, I mean, I had a burden on me, man. It was loading me down. Guilt was, all I could see was guilt. All I could see was the mess that I've caused in my life and in others. All I could see is all the hurtful things that I have done. And I couldn't move. I mean, I was trapped. And I remember receiving that gospel, and all that was washed away, and that burden was lifted off my shoulders. And my heart felt joy for the first time since I was a kid. That's how I received it. It was because Jesus paid the price for it. And He took it and I believed it. And it was nothing. Nothing on my part that I could do to relieve that. There was nothing anybody else could do except tell me the gospel. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that minister you in the Spirit worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the hearing works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And God knew that Abraham believed Him when He was about to put that dagger into His son. And He stopped him. He believed and obeyed. But how many of us, we don't have the law, we don't try to follow the law, but in our carnal mind, how many of us buys into the lies of the enemy? We do it all the time. And it might be the one where you try to work it off as debt, which you can't do. I mean, some of us just, we don't receive it because we feel like we've been too bad to be forgiven. Both sides of that coin is pride. Both sides of that coin is keeping you from receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, Jesus' sacrifice is big enough to cover all sin. That's what it says, doesn't it? So if we fall on one side of the coin or on the other, it doesn't matter. Let's fall in the center. The center of that thing. It's all about what Jesus has done. And let's just receive the love of Christ. Forgetting those things which are in the past. And in the future for that matter. And He died on the cross for the past, present, and future. We don't worry about those things that come. But let's just receive that word. You know the one that was fruitful. Remember the seed and the sower that I was talking about? And all the signs of him. One was the enemy came and quickly plucked out that word. The other didn't have any root. And we got offended at the word and took off. The other was fruitful for a season, but the cares of this life choked the word. But the one that fell on the good ground received it. They just received it. They didn't try to till this thing up. They didn't try to do some working to get that thing, the ground right. They didn't do any of that. They just agreed with the Word. They agreed with Jesus' way. As Abraham did. He believed Him. He believed Him. He believed God. So let's lay down that carnal mind that tries to get us ensnared in the captivity of not being able to receive that. And we have everything. The Lord has set us up where we have everything we need to grow forward in Him. We have His ministers. We have gifts. And He gave the church gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are gifts. Man, I can't know my own heart. My heart is deceitful above all kinds of things. But the Lord's given me ministers and disciples and brothers and sisters to give me the truth. That I could see what the truth is and turn away from the things that will keep me from growing in Him. And that's how He works. That's how He works. And He has surrounded us with people of like experience that has been through the ditches, has been through the struggles. The same ones that is able to teach us to go past, to get through those things that we struggle with. That we can wrap our hands around that gospel and actually be free. The Lord loves you. Everybody in this room has opportunity laid out before Him every day. For us to grab a hold of that gospel, to grab a hold of Jesus and not let go. And if we don't grab onto it and receive that love, it's nobody's fault but our own. It's not God's fault. It's not the person over you's fault. It's not your brother's fault. It's not your sister's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your children's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault if I don't grab a hold of that thing which the Lord has given and given me opportunity to take hold of every day. And man, when we can get a grasp on that, we can move forward. You can move forward. And you can grow in the knowledge of Him. And you can know Him better. Like Paul says, I press toward the mark. I want to know You, Lord. And I want You to know me. And He's made the way for us to have that. So let's not slip into that. We point out one another. We blame this, we blame that. Essentially, we blame God a lot of times. Just a lot of times we just don't actually mouth it. When the truth of the matter, He's given you everything you need to go forward in Him. It's up to us to make that choice to do it and to receive it.
There's really nothing new about the way we are. Phil's talking about our tendency to self-justify. He referred to John chapter 8. There was only one person there who's capable of casting stones in perfectness, in perfection, and He was offering grace and mercy. I can tell you what was going through the Pharisees' minds, because we're all just like them. They probably stood around for a few minutes going, yeah, well, okay, so we have sin, but it's not that dirty, rotten sin that everybody can see, that fornication sin. That's not the point. Sin is sin is sin. And that's not the way Jesus posed it. He posed it as let He who is without sin. Not going back and measuring which sin is the worst sin and that kind of thing. That's how we do things, though. You know, you hear, when you sense that that's the way your thoughts are going, you got to put that off. Repent. And I'm sitting listening to Phil talk about the great mercy and grace of the Lord that was extended to him by the gospel that was preached to him. And, you know, I start thinking about Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If you're able to walk in that, then you need to self-justify. Not so much. Because if your presumption is you're more desperately in need of grace than everybody else, and that's a real subjective view, but that's the one you can be successful in as a minister. I keep thinking to myself, how would it have been for me if I had been a perfect son? How would it have been for Phil if he had been a perfect son? If he had spent all his life about the business of his father, only doing what he gave him to do and saying what he gave him to say. Because that's what Jesus did. That is what Jesus did. And he was lowly in mind. He could have taken himself down off that cross. But for the sin of the world, blood had to be spilled. And for it to cover it, it had to be perfect, sinless blood to avail it for us. Where I was hanging out was in John chapter 12. If this could be my testimony, either as a son or as just a believer, this would be a great testimony. But it is a true testimony of Jesus Christ. verse 44. And he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. You know, it's not in our nature to deflect attention, to deflect praise to somebody else. It strokes our pride to receive it, right? And Jesus, you know, starts off, he believed on me, that's nothing. They're not believing about me. They're believing the Father who sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Pattern here. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Not about me, it's about him. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus had a continuous relationship with the Father. They were in constant communication. And his testimony is, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Because he was able to do this, we can have life everlasting. But if we can really get a grip on lowliness of mind, and we could really get a grip on his business being all that we're about, it would be easier to get a grip on that. But that grace and that mercy, that life everlasting, because he was obedient to the Father. He not only ministered grace and mercy, he was grace and mercy. And we'll never be perfect in this flesh. But you know what? You can be a partaker of his grace and his mercy. I'm done.